Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome to On Book, the scripted musical process. That one's Zach Reno.
That one's Jess McKenna. It's
Y'all,
been some time.
It's been a minute.
Wow. Hi.
Okay.
My microphone just fell off of its thing.
Zach,
hold on.
Has some mic issues. Hold, please.
It's fine. I'll fix it.
Okay. So, listen, we're an open book here. We're an open off book here. On book here. We got to tour a bunch, which was so exciting. And the musical that we were working on for years had like a big Hollywood reading that led to ? So that took up
It led to other back secret back room big Hollywood meetings.
That's right.
That we are not privy to. That we occasionally send emails and be like, "Hey, what's up?" And what we hear back is, "Hey, they're talking. They're
excited. Talking.
Everyone's talking." It's like great.
So that was the first half of the year, first part of the year. So that's why this process slowed down, because especially when we want to put care and attention, our musical brains are limited, and we were doing some reworking of music for that. And then we got to go on that very fun tour. Thank you for all of the beautiful fans who came to see Our Faces with Your Faces. We sold out 10 shows, and it was a total joy.
Absolute blast. Seeing you all, sorry that we couldn't talk to all of you after the shows. We were doing 10 in a row, and I did come back and immediately have 3 days of just being extremely feverish. And what we were trying to prevent was that happening during the tour.
Yeah, so I know sometimes when we do just like one-off shows, we do come out and chat more, take some pics. We did that in fits and starts when we could, but yes, apologies if we missed you. We were going marathon rules, trying to stay safe, trying to stay healthy so that we didn't have to cancel any shows.
But we do love you, and thank you so much for coming out. Man, y'all, it had been a second since we toured. Uh-huh. Our last tour did not go like that.
Yeah.
That was great. It was not that the shows weren't fun, but just like we never sold an entire tour before.
Yeah, and we've never had that many shows in a row before. And
will we again?
Probably not. No, and don't make you worry that we won't come to your city. It just means the fact that we put all 10 together was like a fluke of the buildup of COVID and the strike years of not being able to see these cities, that as we finally got dates and they kept being close, we were like, I guess just keep them together. All that to say, we're excited to dive back into this project, because now our other musical is in secret Hollywood talks that Zach and I aren't invited to, and we have a little
break
from tour.
Which is wild,
we did write it.
But that's okay. That's how Hollywood is. Wait, can I say one more tour thing real quick?
Please, my guy. Right in here.
Let me just get right in here to this podcast of which I'm a co-host. There's, we are going to be, we got most of those episodes.
Yes.
A couple of them were unfortunately taken by the technical difficulties, which you know, she does strike. It does happen.
Yeah.
And it's no one's fault except for hers. and so apologies if you were one of the lost shows. But we have a video of a couple shows, of the Bell House show, of the Den show.
So that's Brooklyn and Chicago.
And the Atlanta show.
And Atlanta City Winery. So watch that space. Thank you for anyone who bought a Veeps streaming ticket to watch the Brooklyn show streaming. So these shows we will eventually be gifting to our sweet babies, our at infinite Clubhouse. Dream at Clubhouse. So
yeah,
that's exciting. And releasing the audio of all the episodes that we have. But we're going to space them out a bit just to give Brett and everyone time because the audio is not consistently recorded.
Yes, that was the other thing that I was going to say. So we're going to try to keep to like a sort of every other week schedule with those. I don't know how this falls into this, but expect an episode from us about every other week for a while because we have quite a few now. So that's the plan, if anyone was wondering.
And I think we
do
can
you
also
want to talk about future tours.
I was just going to say, I think we can also announce we are doing 3 more shows. We're going international.
Wow. So, and are you thinking Canada? Well, that would be easy. No, that's actually not where we're going at this moment.
So we'll be performing in Vienna. We're being brought by the American Improv Theater of Vienna. Some lovely folks who've been chatting with us for a while. We're going to be playing a show there May 17th. And then we'll be playing London on May 20th and Dublin on May 22nd.
That's right. So London, show up. Dublin, please show up. That theater is bigger than we might have opted into in Dublin. But
yes.
It was the theater that was available.
So I guess Belfast friends, come on down. I guess maybe like... anybody want to just take a fun trip to Dublin?
Look, I gotta be real. All of you over there in Europe, your countries are close together.
And your flights are not that expensive to go between the cities, so...
And if you're wondering, like, is Offbook going to come to my city nearby? This is probably as close as it's going to get.
Yes, if you're anywhere in Europe, I do apologize. These are the three. So London, Dublin, Vienna. Take your pick.
Take your pick.
You gotta pick one. but we're thrilled. We had a great time playing London and Dublin in 2019. We're excited to go back. And we're excited to meet some folks learning to do long form improv in Vienna, which is like so cool to see it spread.
Absolutely.
So yes, that's the update of Zach and Jess of Zach and Jess World. But in the meantime, we have sort of still tried to work on the 15-year-old portal, like keeping the spirit alive as much as we can. And Zach went off and fully like cracked an opening, which he does sometimes. It's just a peek into like our dynamic, which is sometimes
kind of
we go like, oh yeah, play around with this. And then sometimes Zach will come back and he'll be like, I wrote something. And I'll be like, what the heck? You're a genius.
That's very kind of you. It's not a full opening, but I guess you're hearing it under this right now. So there's, it's like, I would say the opening beat of an opening. We have this sort of like moment with our girl, yet unnamed girl, by herself.
Is this me? Are you sure? Is this still who I was before? Are these the final changes? Are you the one? Hello, stranger. Let me know if we're done.
Then we have like this opening moment of like 15-year-old portal. And then the dad.
I am about to have what can only be described as a hard conversation with my teenage daughter. It's gonna turn out bad, but you do not get to hide from the entirely justified teenage rage of someone who now has to pick up her entire life and move it somewhere far away.
I have to do what now?
Cool, I guess I said that out loud.
Late sophomore year of high school will be in a different place.
Are you serious?
Yep. And this is how I find out.
Look, we gotta move to the country so that in a few weeks when you turn 15, you can unlock the generational magic of our family.
Wait, sorry. Why are we moving? Where are we moving?
To the family farm in the country.
Okay.
Because I got a new job.
Sure.
And so that when you turn 15, you'll be in our generational home, which is where you need to be to access our family's power that will allow you to open a portal to 15-year-olds from across time, but only for 1 year and only in that house.
What are you talking about?
I know, it's a lot to take in, but...
And we have a chorus.
I guess there is good news, and also bad news, or maybe like hard news, and magic news. On the magic side, you're gonna get magic and hard. We have
that's all I'm gonna play of that right now. That's all you get to hear. It feels weird to share this part of it, but I guess that is the point of On Book.
Yes.
These are often like me singing a part that's out of my range until Jessica can lay it down better later.
Sounds great.
But yeah, we have like general shapes for this opening, which is nice because then like when we inevitably come back after, we're like, the themes have changed. So these choruses that we are establishing at the beginning all have to be updated. We have like something to plug them into and we're not just staring at a blank page.
Right. And so the way that, just to talk about like how our working dynamic works, is we had talked through some of this on pod, some of this we further delved into off pod, that we like the idea of a recurring motif for our for both of our main characters. And we thought maybe it'd be nice to open with a glimpse of that with the daughter and then branch back out and get as much of like an info dump of how this like crazy musical is going to work so that we can get into like fun and games as fast as possible. So that was sort of the structure that we discussed. And then Zach, composed this beautiful music you've now heard a sample of. So I guess because like part of this is also just talking about working dynamic is he shared me on a Google Doc and I since have gone through and Zach hasn't looked at it, right?
Mm-mm, I wanted to do it here.
Yeah, so we're going to do it on pod. So one thing was when Zach took a swing, he was like, I didn't remember if we decided that it was important that they be in the generational home for the magic. And I was like, I think we said it didn't have to be that because that was like one too many rules. So first thing I did was just some easy like dialogue changes. So, and I just put those changes in blue, Zach.
And you put them in blue so I can see exactly what that look. If you're ever messing around with Final Draft, then you know that sometimes you just need to look for a different color. And the different color will show you where the new stuff is.
I will say, Zach, this is like a different type of writing than we normally do. Like I had a very, it was sort of like being in like a little escape room to figure out where you had rhymes because you wrote a very like, almost like spoken style song, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, wait, is that an internal rhyme or did he just happen upon that? Is that just like staying in the vowel sound? And I almost called you to be like, hey, can you bold where you're rhyming for me? But then I thought, I'll just go
Let's talk through it.
So the first thing was we talked about how maybe cool, I guess I said that out loud, is maybe a joke we've heard too many times.
Yeah.
So here's an alt I put in that I realized later that I think you need to rhyme back down here. Zach, are you looking at the doc?
Yep. No, that was meant to be a sort of rhyme, but it is one of those that like you step away from it for just long enough that it almost doesn't matter. So like if there is a good fit for it, great. And if there's not, there's something else that we really want to say, like we can bend around it.
Right. So it took me a second to realize that was maybe a rhyme. So originally I had this alt as
cool, I guess the walls are that thin.
That's the one I landed on because it rhymes now with you were gonna tell me when.
Tell me that when. Yep. Great. I love these. These are good. I think let's adopt both these alts and remove the thing.
Great. I think I had something before that was like, oh, cool, you're standing by the door. And then I couldn't think of a rhyme for door that worked as well. So same joke, which is just like making it more about the structure of the house versus the, I guess I said that part out loud, which we were like, maybe we've heard that. So I made a small change. We got to move to the country. And then in a few weeks when you turn 15, instead of
right.
So that.
Because that's not a factor. They're just moving to the house.
And then because I got a new job, sure. But also, you turn 15. When you turn 15, you'll be granted access to our family's power that will allow you to open a portal to speak to 15-year-olds across time, but only for 1 year and only for... And then I thought it was funny because I liked how much detail there was. Mm-hmm. So I put in a different version that didn't talk
only about... Only whatever 15-year-old the universe feels like you need to talk to. Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Okay, that's one great. More rule, which is like she doesn't get to pick who she's talking about. Okay,
correct.
And then great. And then I picked up a swing at writing now like a girl verse. Because Zach had written all the way through. I am about to perform. Sorry if I get the melody wrong. What can only be described as merciful patricide on my insane father, something like that.
Yep.
Okay. And then, so this is, if we're imagining this stage, they have now like morphed to being sitting side by side in a car driving to the new country house.
That's right.
When it's just you and dad, there's nobody else to turn to when the other goes full cuckoo. He can't explain, so he's chosen to lie while we, and then I kept this, pick up our entire lives and move it somewhere far away. And the dad just
great.
Yeah, I thought that was, I mean, I, there was a lot of stuff that felt fun just to repeat. Look at these trees. And cool, he thinks trees will help. I'm sorry. And then I have this, they're singing at the same time, but slightly different. That's such an interesting, it's like really, really great, Zach. But it is also funny to always be like, oh man, it's they, the thoughts really connect, which is great.
It is specific. I like the more that we talk, when I was writing this, the way we talked about it was like, the two of them are very, are sort of open books to each other in a way. And when they're not open books to each other, I feel like they should be open books to the audience. So yeah. it is a little bit like more almost like stream of consciousness in the way that it flows rather than just like traditional musical theater. Like,
yes.
Here is a thing that has a rhyme.
Yes. Yeah. Which is great. wait. Okay. So it goes, pick up somewhere far away. I have to do what now? The walls aren't in a sophomore year. Will you just sing that line for me?
Let's not talk of metaphysical when we can look at trees. More trees.
Just a stupid joke where she's like,
there is no good news, only bad. Oh, tragic is great. Only bad news. Sorry, you should sing this.
Oh, no, you're good. You know the melody better than me. I mean, I spent some time with it this weekend, but.
Or maybe like hard news and tragic news. On the tragic side, you're lying about magic and hard. I live with you. Yes, this is hard news.
And then dad comes back.
I cannot stress enough.
There's also magic news.
Yeah, I wonder if that's like, but I cannot stress enough. It's real and it's magic.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Very real or something like that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, that's awesome. You've kept basically 100% of the song structure that was sort of laid before.
I'm nothing dutiful to structure.
No, that's awesome. So that weird like musical section that I will, what the heck, I'll put it in now. It's got a key change so that girl can sing it in her key. So this is a musical section that I wrote that I was like, I don't know where this fits in, but this feels like good for this song, for her, for like a change up. So maybe it goes now.
That's the instrumental that plays at the end of the demo you gave me. Yeah.
Yes, which I think can be sung over.
It would be fun for it to be bridgey that she sings once at the house.
Yeah. And now they're at the house.
Right. Because then that just gets us there.
Yep. Agreed. Because we wanted this, like, part of the, like, the exposition dump, the how fast can we go through this opening is, like, this is none of the stuff that we're, like, we need to establish this so we can get to the stuff we actually want to do.
Right.
And just make it the ride as fun as possible. Put as many trees outside the window as we can, you know?
That just felt like, you know, the type of thing that a desperate parent is like, look at the...
It's such a worse version of like, hey, the weather.
It's like, look at all these
hey, trees. A lot of trees. Whoa. And they still got leaves on them at this time of year. Wow.
Cool.
It's September. Great.
So I would say that's a pretty standard way that you and I would work is you, like someone would start the beginnings of lyrics and another person might take over.
Yeah.
And then we would go back and forth and tweak.
Right.
Especially just to get a body on the table, as I used to say a lot and then fell out of vogue of saying.
Yeah, well, the body needs to be on the table because you can't, you know, put Frankenstein bolts in its neck.
No.
Or whatever it is you do to bodies on tables if it's not there. Sometimes, as I think will be the case now, I think we actually wouldn't finish the lyrics of this song until we decide, maybe get a little bit into, the scene that happens immediately after. Because it really is sort of like handing the baton of the song into the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know exactly what's next. So, like, this is good. So, yeah, you then went off into the dock and sort of paced out some other ideas for, like, the next beats of this story.
Yes. I have sort of rough in through Act 1.
Act 1B, even.
Oh, yeah, because we were talking about structurally that it might feel more like... for like a stage musical, whereas when we write a screenplay, we think of three-act structure. If we're writing a stage musical, we think more of two-act structure with having like a high point, in a turning point mid-act, so kind of like almost four acts.
Really picking up exactly where we left off, even in the song though. So like they arrive at the house. You have floated this idea of maybe there is somebody already at the house that like has been living there this whole time. I think we talked very briefly about the idea that like they've inherited the house now because someone like passed away.
Yeah.
So there's a couple, but then we also talked about off mic that like if they were moving to the house, it would be insane to both have a new job in a place where they have a home where someone happens to have just passed. Like, it feels probably cleaner to be like, I got a new job and we're moving.
Unless it's a family industry, unless it's like,
we had talked about that too. Yeah, I'm taking over the family chicken farm slash box factory slash rice patties slash whatever it is.
Exactly. Yeah. There's maybe some hoops to jump through for like why a new job would take you to the country, but not hoops we couldn't, you know, figure out. But that's like
unless as you were saying, the job is living at the house and dealing with the farm, like the straight up farm of it all.
Right. And we sort of liked, there was like a bit of magic that we thought could happen if where she was experiencing the portal was the same place her father did. They would, like, if in the end of Act Two, she gets visited by her 15-year-old father and he's like, why are you in my room? That there's like, maybe
it has
some...
It has to be the same room. Right. And I think
that's just a piece of like cool, like, whoa, the world that could be interesting.
I really like that.
Yeah, that part's cool. So, but the thing is like it, the more family members you have around, the more people who are like, oh yeah, the 15-year-old thing, which I think is maybe a con. Like, I think you want the tension of like,
why are you lying to me about this? I'm not, it's real.
Right. And even
also them being each other's like sort of full support system is, I think, good.
Right, exactly. Like, if you have, like, a grandparent there who's like, yep, I remember my 15th year, pretty crazy, you're kind of like, oh, maybe that, like, takes some of the specificity out of it being between the father and daughter.
If you wanted, like, a groundskeeper you could do, like, a person who is out of the loop. Who's just like, well, I don't know anything about portals. All I know is about sweeping the bats out of that attic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know how you get bats out of an attic with a broom.
Yeah, bats in the belfry. I think that might be good just so that we keep that if father daughter are arguing about having a conversation with Albert Einstein, you want someone to be able to walk in and then be like,
Yeah, right.
Versus like, it's that thing again. So I think in that way, I would turn against it being like, and now they're back with a bunch of family members, but they can be back next to chosen family, like people that he grew up with, like, you know, a groundskeeper, a housekeeper, like people who have maintained the home that he has a connection to that can fill out, like, are now their like new little nucleus of a family, which could be cute.
I agree. There is a sort of side complication to that, which is not necessarily a bad thing because there's probably a comic way around it. But it's like, it does throw another sort of emotional beat into this, which is like someone in, like, you have this house, but also there was just a death in the family. So, like, what's the fastest and funniest way that we can move to, like, yes, it is very sad, but it's also actually not about that. Like,
well, it could also be that, like, say his parents died 10 years ago and, like, a steward has been running the box factory and he's like, right. I think we need to change because this is going to be a big year for her. And she and I...
For boxes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And this is a huge year for boxes. Like, I think we could also get around it that way. We're like, you know, like, I don't know why I keep speaking about his life, but, you know, Drew Tarver was groomed his whole life to take over his father's candy.
The candy
but
fortune.
But then when he became a successful actor, they were like, oh, I guess it'll be your younger brother. It's like, it can always go to someone else. Or like maybe...
Is that real?
Yeah.
The younger brother of it all? Because there's also... Is the sister the youngest one?
He has two sisters. And they both are also just pursuing the arts. And so...
Just successful singer actors.
The top three... The oldest three Tarvers... I don't mean top. Sorry, Jake. The oldest three Tarvers were like, we're all going to Hollywood to chase our dreams and we're all talented and it's working for all of us. And the littlest brother was like, all right, I'll run the candy factory. And he's like 25 and he's doing great.
And he's the heir to a candy empire. Yeah.
This is just Tarver intel. Incredible. I guess it's like, it's not bad, but I'm like, this is funny. This is not totally my story. But anyway, the Tarvers are a great family. So it could be also something like that where like a younger sibling has been holding the bag and is like, I actually need to go do something different. I've been running boxes. And he can be like, I'm out the door. And he can even do a wink to the daughter that's like, uh-oh, turning 15, have fun. I'm off to climb Everest. You know, like,
yep.
So we can do, I think we could probably work around that.
I think you're right.
Yeah, because we don't want to inherit that since we also have to deal with the fact that like a mom passed away. We don't need like more and more.
Although we've also talked about that mostly being sort of like foundational stuff, right?
Yeah.
To avoid the Beetlejuice of it all.
Yeah.
Where it is like really front and center.
No.
The story is not about that. That is just like, that is the backstory of why they are the way they are. Okay, great. So they arrive at house.
And let's just say there's like some staff of the house that we can meet. One or two characters that are funny.
It's so funny because that is like a musical trope of like, I think I'm gonna like it here. But it's not that because it's not like the Warbucks house. It's something way stupider.
Yes.
The staff. And the staff, I think, should be like two people, right? It's like the groundskeeper and the housekeeper. Yeah. Are like,
and they're like an old married couple. And they've just been because I feel like comedically that's fun to play. Just like a matching like, we haven't seen you since two Christmases ago. You've grown 2 inches.
Yeah, they're both like fixtures of the house. I guess we probably should decide what this business family home thing is. Farm is very fun. Okay, so, and we've talked about it like sort of jutting up against the school, right? That she's going to like a school for the sciences.
Yeah.
In a way that like all the cliques are science cliques. Just to do something fun with like the normal high school stuff where it's always like, these are the cool kids, and then this. It's like, yes, there is all that, but it's all, everyone here is a...
Did I already mention that, like, when Morgan and I did some camping trip through the Pacific Northwest, then when we got to Eastern Washington, it's just, like, apple industry that's, like, massive, massive apple commerce, and it suddenly has, like, a way different vibe. But if you were on, like, the border of it, you'd be living in, like... Part of your life would look like Twilight, misty, big trees. Okay. And then suddenly it turns like...
Shiny boys. Yeah,
suddenly it turns like flat and almost arid. And there's just so many apples. Like he could be inheriting like an apple fortune.
Or just like even an apple operation. Yeah, right? Like the money of it all is not necessarily important, but it's like...
Well, it has to be like substantive enough that like it's big enough and exciting enough to like be like, yep, this is a good choice for me to uproot my daughter, right? Like if it's too...
I wonder what he was doing before.
He was working for Apple. Maybe,
is he still doing it? Yeah. Is he like working from home just from here?
So dumb. If that were... Apple, yes. Apple. And then we could have a song about apples to apples. if we were improvising this, we would.
That's what we would do.
But in writing it, we can be a little less dumb.
I mean, there is something funny about him working for a fictional tech company that is not Apple.
Yeah.
Like, Mel. yeah.
Yeah.
his old job is not that important. Suffice it to say, he either can still do it or it's just time for him to run it like from here.
Well, also, I guess let's peel back the most important question. Is he moving because his family has asked, hey, the time is now for you to like step up for your family of origin to do this thing that you've been putting off? Or is it because he genuinely thinks that like going through this experience at like a less, maybe she's at like a really competitive type prep school or something, and he's just like, this is just not what I want for you. Like, is it motivated by something he thinks will actually be good for the daughter? Like, we need a change? Or is it motivated by like, I'm so sorry to do this to you in what's already going to be a crazy year, but like, I have to step up for my family because my brother's been holding the bag and I like got to do right by him? Because I think that kind of informs some of the specifics.
My guess would be that, only because I don't know why he would necessarily introduce more chaos into her life.
Right. I think the only justification would be if the mom's death was recent and he's like, I think it'll be good for us to have a fresh start.
We need a change. And I think we had talked about before that maybe the death is not. And that's why they have the dynamic that
right.
they do.
Okay. So yeah, I think he can be more apologetic of like, sorry, it's just I always knew one day I'd have to go take care of the apples.
And it's now.
I thought maybe I could wait till you went to college, but I have to go now.
Honestly, my brother told me it was going to be when you went to college, but now he's got to go climb Kilimanjaro and Everest back to back.
Yeah, or like he's really bad at dates and thought you were 18.
Also, the company is not doing well, and it turns out that he
does not have a mind for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to save grandma and grandpa's legacy.
Yeah.
I think that's probably good because it puts our dad on his back foot a little bit more, makes him a little more like,
He should be eager to please in this situation for like, he should know that it's messed up. And all of the benefits of it are not, I mean, I think he does. I don't think he would make the choice if he didn't think that like, there will be a lot of upside to this, but there's definitely some
Right.
There's some hard news.
Okay, cool. Then I think we can play with making those details a little bit more like funny and less like, here's the community that I knew you needed.
For sure. I think the community is actually like, it's better if like the house staff is like weird and not immediately like, I love these people. It's like, these guys seems maybe bad until later we find it's like, okay, actually we do like these people.
You're so right. They can be very funny. Cause like I'm immediately picturing like the Mrs. Wilson next door in Dennis to Menace, or like Maggie Smith and Hook, but maybe they're a bit stranger. So she's like, oh, these two, and then she's like, oh, these two.
Yeah. Like they can be like full weirdos in a way that is actually like a little off putting until you get to know them, then they're actually great. But we probably won't see too much of them in this moment, right? It's just a little bit of a handoff of like, well, here's the house, here's where you are. And she is not 15 yet in the timeline of things.
Right.
So when does she turn 15?
I mean, I would assume we want to give her like a want song that takes us through the strike of midnight. That feels maybe compelling.
I mean, that's a cool thing to say, but I think it's wild to assume that everyone would assume that that's true. I think that's a very smart, cool thing that you've thought of.
Oh.
I don't think everyone's thinking that's the obvious thing to do. It's an awesome thing to do.
I was like, I thought for sure you were going to go, how will we convey it's midnight, Jess?
I think that can be done. I think we can work our way around that particular issue.
For sure. For sure.
If only there were a musical that had done a song about something that related to midnight at some point. That's easy. We just have a big giant squish everyone.
Yeah.
And the doom. Worries. And the boom.
It's the last midnight. Okay, cool. So we could now sort of, I think that's the next step, right? There's like scenic stuff that gets us to the house. Maybe there's a full breakfast scene where I think we talked about this, where she goes to school. It's like the day before her 15th birthday.
Yeah. Interesting. It depends on what sort of baggage we want to put on her going into this, right? Because, like, do we want the want song to be a lot about the fear of the unknown in a way that like really exists in full before you go to the school at all? Or do we want some things that have already happened in school to like paint a sort of picture of fear in her mind about like, ooh, this is bad and I don't know how I'm going to deal with this?
So I think if we had a big flurry opening number that continues from what we already have, we could still have it end on that motif that it opens with, mm-hmm. that is her morning before her first day of school. That is like that little reflection point.
Yeah, that like getting, that like her in like a mirror again, getting ready mm-hmm. to go to school.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. So the first song dumped us out right into her going to school.
Right into about to go down to have breakfast with her dad. Like, so she's like, hello stranger, let me know if we're, honey, your oatmeal's getting solid. She's
it's
like
congealing.
Oh yeah. Or,
and it's like one of the crazy housekeeping people. It's not even the dad, it's just like some insane noise. Sorry, that's me waking up the morning crows.
And yeah. Then she's like nervous. We see her go to school. Something, she comes home and she has a want song at that midnight. That is because I think we wanted to see like what's the problem that the universe provides like our first 15-year-old to solve. Like who's like the first 15-year-old through the door.
Right. Okay. So song ends on the first morning of school, which is great. It means we have the third verse of that chorus to sort of like, we're at the house, very quickly meet these two housekeeping people. Maybe there could be just like a cool, almost like a time-lapse montage of like a week going by of like unpacking and mm-hmm. whatever. It might be like more musical and visual than actual lyrical. Or maybe it's lyrical, but it's abstract. And in that time, her and her dad are still fighting. And mm-hmm. so it's really them separated from each other. Like if you were seeing it on stage, you would have like them on separate sides of the stage, isolated yeah. in pools of light, doing their own thing, clearly needing each other's help and not being there for each other in mm-hmm. that moment. And then like school's time to school.
Yeah.
So we have to pass a week in music. If only we had a musical project where we had some experience with covering a long span of time in an opening number. We just did this for our movie. Great. Okay, cool. Awesome. That's exciting to me. So then we have this breakfast scene, which is our first like sort of proper
scene
that isn't sort of in the confines of like a stop down or
right.
breakfast table shenanigans, probably with the four of them,
mm-hmm.
which if it's just you and I performing it by ourselves will be
classic.
Funny.
Yeah.
But I guess we shouldn't maybe necessarily cross that bridge yet, right? Like first we just do it like, there's four people here. Let's write it the way that we want to write it. And then
yeah,
let the problem solving of the live two-person show be funny.
Yeah.
Goes to school. It's also the eve of her 15th birthday. So her dad can again be like, and hey, don't forget, this is like a school. Yeah, whatever. School's going to be fine. Like you're going to, I can't believe you're still thinking about school and you should be thinking about this portal that's going to open.
She's like, I'm going
to
kill you.
I'm going to murder you. I don't know how you see this portal lie ending. Like,
yeah. Like tomorrow I'll be 15 and I'll be like, got you.
What's your out? Like, yeah.
Is it a pony? Because I haven't asked for that since I was 8.
How much do we want the audience? I guess we know because we're talking about it, but like how much do we believe the dad? Because I think it's kind of fun to not know.
That's a great question.
It's true. I mean, pros and cons. Cons, we can't call it 15-year-old portal and then have people be surprised when the portal shows up.
Right.
Like, it's sort of right there on the tin.
Right.
But I do think it is narratively interesting, not for any of you listeners, because you've been spoilered. But for someone coming in blind to like, is this guy flailing? What is the out here?
Right.
This is crazy if it's real. I don't know. I can kind of see it both ways. It's revealed early and then it's real.
Right.
So it's like not a big deal. It just colors those early scenes differently.
Totally. There might be some tweaking in performance stuff too of like the way that he blurts it out where you're just like, okay.
be like, and then this will happen. And there's going to be a portal. And it's so, it's really exciting. What? Yeah, I wasn't planning on telling you like this. This sounds like an obvious lie. I know it does. It's not.
Because even it could be like, typically, like, my mom told me the day before my 50th. Like, I'm giving you too much time to think about it. I understand. That's my problem.
Forget I didn't say anything. Yeah. I'm never going to bring it up again.
Kind of. There might be a little bit of like that where we're like, okay.
I will say this. It's such a big lie to tell to a 14 turning 15 year old.
Yeah.
That I think the assumption has to be, it's one of two things. One, this man is a fucking maniac, or two, it's or it's real,
or it could be like he's you know, like I put in that lyric about bedtime stories. You can also be like, Dad, I'm too old for this. Like, we can put into their history that, especially in maybe like trying to help her deal with like grief, that he has told her fantastical stories, and we as the audience can think that's what he's doing. Like,
or maybe even accidentally told her this story and then was like, sure. Oh, it was a metaphor. The portal's a metaphor.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's like that thing that's like, you know, like, play with me. Come on. What do you see? Don't you see the princess is in danger? You know? And she's like, Dad, seriously, I am much too old to do this. But maybe it's something they used to do all the time, or he would be like, they'd tell, I think there's probably a way we can play with that where you think that he's just doing that dad thing of trying to do something she's outgrown.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Can I take us on a tangent for a second?
My man.
Okay, so my wife, Nicole.
Sick brag.
I'm married. What are you going to do about it? And it's been a second. Just directed a show at the Performing Arts High School that she teaches at. And it was a show called 12 Incompetent Jurors, which I'm sure our very theater savvy audience can intuit is a sort of parody of 12 Angry Men that was literally written by this guy for 12 very specific people that like were his friends. Mm. So it's a wild show. It's very silly. It was very fun. The kids they're great. They're doing a great job. But the school that she teaches at goes from like 9th to 12th grade. It's through high school, but it's also connected to like a slightly younger school in some way. All of which is to say, there is a teen in this show.
Right.
And in this show, where everyone that is in it is a high school student. I don't know how this happened, but Nicole managed to cast an even younger person to play the teen in this show. And I believe this actress is an actual, like, she is playing her age group and she's surrounded by people that are like adult playing adults. It is the most devastating portrayal of a teen. I mean, like, comedically, I have ever, like, this, first of all, it's never explained why a teen is allowed on a jury pool, which is absolutely not something that can, like, she's way too young. She's on her phone the whole time. And it's just like one of those. It's so funny to see one person in this cast is cast exactly age appropriately. And it's like, so funny to watch. This like physically smaller person who is so good. Anyway, it just made me real. It's also the character is written to be like, the teen is mean to the adults around them because the teen doesn't care. And it's just so funny. I love a mean teen, is I guess what I'm saying. A teen who is mean and is taking all the power that they have, and the only power that they actually have is just like fucking cutting wit. It's like all they have in this world. So that was very funny to me. Shout out to the entire cast of 12 Incompetent Jerks.
Great job. Proud of you. Get out there.
Oh, sorry. One more thing. The school doesn't have enough theaters to like, there's like two shows going on. So they actually did the show in City Hall.
Very cool. Very fun.
Which is to say a big empty boardroom. Because that's what most City Halls actually look like.
We love it.
We love it.
We love it.
What were we talking about? This.
Okay. Yes. I think it would now just be the next thing to sort of brainstorm would be Want Song, I think.
And I guess what happens at school if she goes to school and comes back.
Yeah. Well, probably she like just has a classic bad first day where she thinks like dunking on science will get her ahead or something. And just, everyone's like, oh my God. That's an insane hypothesis that you thought we wouldn't care about science.
Or even just like she doesn't care. But even if she's not being mean to other people, she's just like, I don't know, science, right? It's hard and it's complicated and it sucks and I don't care about it. What? Everyone cares about science deeply. Part of your world happens pretty quick, right? Mm-hmm. Like the earlier the better. The earlier that we can really get into this girl's head. And at some point we'll give her a name, but I think her name maybe is Girl. And that's like cool.
Girl and Dad.
Girl and Dad. And everyone's like, hi, it's Girl's first day at school. Please welcome Girl.
Girl.
Hi, Girl. My name's Friend.
Teacher. My name's
Thomas. But I wonder if there is like a rapid montage way of like, it feels like the school day just like bowls her over.
Yeah.
And it's just like the classroom, the hallway, a science class, lunch. And it's all just like, boom, boom, boom. Like it happens fast. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a song or not. It's probably not, right? The second song is probably the Want Song.
Yeah, it could be like a songlet kind of thing.
Yeah, or have like a musical engine behind it.
Yeah.
Is the first song in Little Mermaid part of your world?
Well, they have like a mini like diegetic song of the other sisters performing. I think you also have that little sea shanty song before Part of Your World. Of the prince above.
I haven't seen, oh my God, I think you're right. I haven't seen The Little Mermaid in so long.
So there's a little bit of musical moment, but so I think it would be okay if there was like, if not full song here, something that felt slightly musicalized, I think would still be okay. But yeah, I mean.
The point being, I don't think we don't want to spend too long before we get to, particularly in our hour long version of this, like we're sort of TikTok. To get to that Juan song.
Probably we should treat it as a TikTok.
Probably we should treat it as a TikTok. That's, huh. You're joking, but what is the like social media version of her recounting her day that is like through the lens of, that might be more trouble than it's worth. But it's funny to like the compilation of it all is I think what we're talking about, right? Like,
yeah.
What is a montage, but a TikTok full of smash cuts.
Right.
Get ready with me. as I go to school.
Yeah, the only thing that's, because we're trying to conceive of this for the stage, is like, what's the, to me, it's probably like, if we're playing into the medium we're choosing to think of it as right now, which is like a two-person musical, probably it's like, how many different people do you play in reaction to me being like, hi, yep, uh-huh, yep. And you're doing like that improv swinging door where it's like, and your shoulders over here and your shoulders over there kind of thing. And.
But maybe it's also like a broom with a wig on it that's you. And so that you're also playing another person. And it's like all happening as like the audience is looking at Girl, that's her name canonically, is back. And on the other side of her is both of us playing like a barrage of people.
Right.
And that I think can be like a comedic choice of like, this is like, you're about to meet a bunch of people and we do need both of our actors for this. So like, this one's a bucket. Girl is a bucket, but you're right. I think it might be a mix between those two. It could just be me, but I think in Success, you are playing some of the people in this school world, right?
Yeah,
it can't
probably
all be me,
right? Yeah, I think like probably we have like a very minimal set that just has like a door, and you could just keep having people come through the door, and you would understand that they're all like talking to the girl.
For sure. This is also like sort of a logistical problem. If we wanted to meet a barrage of people and those are people are played by both you and I, we do that and then we'll figure out later how to
for
make
sure.
it work.
For sure. I'm just like trying to not gear towards too much like AV at this moment, because I think it's fun to really, in the same way that we did with 3 months later, we were like, let's make a cinematic choice. I think it's equally as powerful to be like, what is a like
stage choice? I meant the stage version of a TikTok screen.
Yeah,
I did
just
not mean
like,
an actual like recording of it all.
Because, you know, like Dear Evan Hansen plays with that, where they have like screens and like they play with social media, like literally being projected on screens.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. So we wouldn't be the first to put screens on screens in our show.
We wouldn't be the first one. Yeah. And I just like I don't really like that move personally. But yes, I agree. We should let the content guide. I was just sort of like getting in the weeds for a second.
Which is good. Sometimes you need to go, because sometimes there's turnips in the weeds.
Sometimes there's snakes.
And depending on what you're looking for, that can be a good or bad thing.
That's right. Okay, some sort of scenic with maybe like, I'm imagining almost like not a tagline song, but just a tagline. So it's like scenelet spoken with, and then like one sung line that is like,
bad job.
Yeah, or just like holy shit, this is a lot. Holy shit, this is a lot.
This is a lot, and I'm doing bad. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. That could be her, or it could be them, or it could be both.
Right.
So it is. It just kind of is like a refrain that helps get us through a bunch of scenes, but not exactly a song.
I like that. Or maybe it's even like, it's okay. The next one will be better. And it's not the next. It just like gets more and more manic the more that we hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then until she like finally stops hoping.
Yeah.
Like something like that. Yeah, a lot of good options there. But anyway, that's like transitional.
Yeah.
That's us introducing a whole bunch of people that will probably be bigger deals later, but not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like we're not wasting any part of the buffalo here. It's like the two teens who she perceives as like the cool ones will probably be her first friend group.
Yeah.
The teacher will be the teacher.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait, I just had a very funny side idea, which is that like she connects with two different teachers and they have a side song at some point. That's them saying, no, but I'm her mentor.
Okay, but yeah, I'm really the one guiding this student through their
whole time. I'm actually the mentor here.
Okay, but which one of us is the mentor here? Because we can't both be the mentor.
She can have lots of teachers, but she's only going to have one mentor.
And then like it's like teacher-student night at some point later on, and the dad shows up and is like, y'all, get in line.
Yeah,
I'm the mentor here. Y'all are under fives. You just came into this show.
Yeah.
I've been here for a while.
I'm the mentor here.
Or there's like a third, like custodian, who she's like, if I had to pick between which of either of us, which of us is your mentor? Oh, neither of you.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Coalbottom is my mentor. Mr. Coalbottom? Yeah. The weird PE teacher? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He keeps it brief and digestible.
And it really works for me.
Also, he doesn't like need anything from me.
You know? You two are
it's
thirsty.
Really. And their arc is that they both get someone who one of the other kids becomes each of their
yes
they do get to be a mentor.
Yes, I just want to be a mentor.
I just want to have someone come to me in their hardest time. Not that I want them to be having, having a hard time. That's really funny.
Sometimes, yes, I imagine them 20 years later coming back to visit me and saying, hey, did you know that that one conversation changed my life?
I want to change their lives. That's so funny. That has a little bit I'm the dean of this school energy, but in a different and also I think still very, very good way.
Yeah. It's like a interesting line to walk, but I think it's like, it's pretty relatable. I mean, I even felt that way sometimes as like a camp counselor. I was like, man, I wonder if in the 100%. Story of that kid's life, I'm like a footnote that's like, oh man, they were so important. Because I have those people. And so I'm like,
yeah,
could I be that person to
someone else? For the record, I don't think everyone walks around the world wanting to be that person, but you and I definitely do. Like, yes. Let's be clear.
And also, I have a couple...
Everyone wants to be impactful in people's lives. Exactly. Sorry.
I have teachers who, like, they would know they were my mentors and, like, you know, and I'm still friends with them. But I also have people who I'm like, whoa, I wonder if they know that, like, literal one sentence changed my life, you know? Yeah, and if I dedicated my life to the very hard thing of being a teacher, that would be, like, one of my hopeful solaces would be like, but maybe I, like, said one thing that, like, really changed a kid's life.
You know what's also so funny, though, is that, like, kids go through school once, right? So, yeah. Like, the mentor thing is like, well, who is it this year? Because it's not, it's like, it's different from the other side.
But I think that they have certain kids who... I don't think they think of like, oh, there's a favorite kid I have every year. I think some teachers are like, I get a few in a career that are like that extra, like, man, I think I really set them on a path, you know?
I'm not a teacher. I can't speak to this. You might be right. It also might just be that you are this student for a couple people.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have to keep the contents of some of my letters of recommendation to myself in this moment and neither confirm nor deny that some of my teachers did describe me as a once in a generational experience.
Hell yeah.
I mean, that's not what I mean. Once in a generational. I was just thinking that word's really in my head because it took me forever to get a similar word to scan. Because you used unlock the generational magic of our family. And I was like, okay, that line is 17 syllables long. How do I get anything to scan? You can unlock. Okay, 4 syllables before. Generational. And it obviously could be multiple words, but nothing was fitting as well. Anyway, I was not a once in a generational student. Sorry, that's not what I meant to say. Not what I meant to say. The word was really in my head. Cut this part out.
It's all good. It's also, don't cut it out. Leave it in. Also, it's such important foundation character building for understanding you, Jessica.
Yeah.
It's also
can you believe
perfectly.
A cocky little shit like me had teachers say, I'll never have another one like her.
It is a crazy thing for a teacher. I mean, like, who knows how much they write that, but probably not that much.
Also, they were all young when I had like a set of 4 teachers who were all incredibly close to me, and they were all in their late 20s when I was their student.
Oh my god, yeah.
So of course, at like 29,
their careers, yeah.
They're like, this kid is, I don't think I'll ever have another kid like her. I'm sure they've had like 25 since me, but because they were like only a few years in and we were so tight and I was like, you know, loved them so much, I'm sure they did think I could be once in their career.
I do think that's good for the dynamic that we were just talking about too, though, right? It's like the two teachers that really want to be the mentor are like young and hungry for it.
Yes.
The teacher that is the mentor is like the fucking weirdo from PE is like an old hat at this.
Yes.
Has been here for forever. It's, I don't know. That PE teacher that you talk about a lot has very funny energy to me.
He's perfect. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very much. And he was also very important to me. And he did the opposite that these young teachers did, where he really was like, okay, McKenna, you think you're hot shit? See you run the mile in less than 12 minutes.
But truly, like, that is a thing for me. Like, that is actually, that is an inspirational tactic that does work on me.
For sure.
Withholding praise. Oh, don't worry
about
it.
Well, it also, for me, really worked in concert, right? Like, I was like, this is so interesting. I have, like, different types of adults in my ear who are telling me different types of things. And I do think they were all very formative.
Let me be clear. I both run on constant praise, and if you withhold praise from me, you can get me to do things.
Oh, my gosh. These on-book episodes are so revealing.
I know. I don't think this would be surprising to anyone.
It's a little embarrassing
like the limelight.
Yeah, but it's a little embarrassing that I can reference the letters of recommendations written about me almost 2 decades ago.
Yeah, I was very proud of the two. Because I got one from my choir teacher and one from my acting teacher. The teachers that knew me the best. The ones that did the musical and the play and all that stuff. And I think I was very moved and proud of the things that they wrote.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I don't think that's unusual.
We're the same.
We're the same.
Are we like anyone else? Hard to say, but we are the same.
Yeah. Probably, yes, a little bit, but also, who knows? Wild.
Okay. Okay, so what does she want? And I do fear, we went through this journey with our main character in the feature, that sometimes we like, what they wanted was like purpose. And sometimes like writing something like that, you can't have them want like the absence of something like, you know.
Yeah, that's not active, right?
Yeah.
So we have to have something to attack. And I feel like, stability is too general, although like we should talk about the things that this teen does want to sort of like hone in on it.
I liked this opening thing that you have about like that feeling when you're wondering, is this the version of me that I'm going to be? Which is very relatable to like that time in your life and even repeats later in life where you're like, am I still the person I always was? So I think there's something in there. There's also when you're like, no, you can experience this your whole life. Am I actually actively choosing the person I want to be, or am I a product of all the influences around me? Am I just like 10% my best friend, 20% the media, 50% my parents? Like, is any of that actually like, what is me? What's the part that I choose? What's the part that I'm not just like doing what's expected of me, but I'm actually, and that's, I think, a big part of coming of age is like, what are the things that actually matter to me? So there's something to me about like, I want to know that I'm in the driver's seat. Like, I want to know that I'm.
Yeah, she wants to know who she is, which, as we talked about, is problematic because it's like wanting to find yourself is like nebulous. Although in this particular case, that is actionable to be like, hey, at this school, at this time in my life, I am done being like the product of things that have happened to me. Yeah. I have in my head the person who I want to be, and I'm agonizing over whether or not I've picked the right person, but it's time to fucking like do
it. Try it.
And I'm going to try on some people and see which one is
get ready with me.
Get ready with me as me to be me.
Yeah. I'm finally me, and this is me getting ready to be the me that I was ready to be. Get ready to be.
Because that does feel like the next couple beats of this story are like her, someone like having a problem. Portal person showing through is like, here's what you got to do. Her becoming a person specifically to deal with that.
Okay. Also,
Jessica McKenna has raised her hand. I'll call on her.
Okay. What if she's built this up as this horrible thing. She's had to move school. She's got this whole new life. What if that first day of school is her going completely unnoticed? And she comes home, and at first she's like, oh my God, it was like I was a ghost all day. It was terrible. And then she realizes, wait a second. It's like the thing when you go to college and you can like change your name. You can like I was like, I'm going to play up that I'm from California. I think that's going to hit in the Midwest. Like, you do actually think when you're not inheriting kids that have known you since you were five.
100. Everyone does this when they go to college. There's like a little bit. Sometimes it means you put on a fedora. This, I'm not speaking from experience, by the way. That's just like the classic trope.
Oh my God, I wore so many hats, as I still do, but yeah.
But that was a choice you made when you went to college.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to keep wearing these hats. But it could be that she comes home from that first day of school, and instead of it being like horrible, it is horrible in its own way, because she's like, oh my gosh, I miss my friends. I miss knowing where I am supposed to walk. I miss like knowing where my classes are. But then she's like, wait a second. I don't know them, and they don't know me. They don't know me. Like, I could...
can be anyone.
But then she's like, wait a second. Oh no. Now I'm flooded with the infinite choices of like what that person is then.
Yeah.
And then somebody goes, ding dong, did somebody say infinity? It's me, Albert Einstein.
But I'm 15 and I'm not really thinking about this yet.
I'm thinking about, can I get my hair to stay down?
And the answer is no. It's frizzy. I don't know what to do. Also, I have an accent. Because, I mean, and like, obviously this could change, but this is a question she's grappling with pre-move, right? Just she's at the stage in her life where she's like, Who are we?
Totally, like, totally. But the why now is she has an opportunity to like kind of make a different choice if she wants.
Yeah, and the want is to like is to do it.
Right.
You know?
Choose right.
What is the want behind that want? Right? Like, what does that allow you to do? I'm wondering if there is like an actual engine on the other side of that. Because I wonder if wanting to know who you are is in and of itself obviously like an admirable thing, but also I think it's kind of a means to an end sometimes of like, I want to know who I am so that like the path before me is a little bit more clear, so that I so that I can be more confident in, so that I kind of don't know.
Well, at that age, the thing is like, I suspect I'm just the person my parents have wanted me to be. What's the little bit of rebellion that is like me testing out my...
Is that a thought you actively had as a kid?
No, I was, but I think it's a thought some kids had. But yeah, I think...
Me neither. That's,
I wasn't ever worried about like, oh, if I follow the rules, does that prohibit me from the like self-reflection that means I'm thinking of this myself? Like... But that is, I think, a noble tension between like, am I just parroting everything my parents told me, or do I have my own opinions? I think that I was like, seems good. I'll just.
and there's another version of that that doesn't involve parents, right? Which is just that like, am I just like going along to get along, or is this who I actually want to be?
Right.
And I think that you and I, I'm guessing, didn't feel a ton of problems from like being our unapologetic selves. That is right. Not an issue that you and I have had.
And I think when you have like passions that you're pursuing, that feels like your identity at that age. I was like, I know who I am. I'm a person who loves to like sing and be in plays. So right. I was, yes, like, same. That's who I am. Like, and it felt, to me, it felt very like natural. We could build out this idea that like part of their grief tactic was to live in a fantasy world, telling big stories, like, you know, she played dress up longer than all of her friends. She went trick or treating even when they said that it should end. She like, could still, you know, like, does growing up mean putting the story away? And like, and then what does that mean that she's about to actually have real magic?
Right. Also, if you've been told like, these are just characters in a story, but at this point you actually have an opportunity to be like, I don't know, who shows up to this school? How different is that from like dress up, like put on the clothes that you want?
Right.
Like this is who you, like, identity is a performance.
Like, okay, I want to stop being the storybook version of me. I want to be the real me. I want to finally live in the real world. I want to, like, I don't want to be protected anymore. Like,
it can be like, I want to know where the ground is, right? Like, she's gone through like a life of upheaval changes. Like, I want to feel like for once in my life, that things aren't about to be like chaotically different moment to moment.
Sorry, girl.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that way. But you get that. I have that impulse to just be like, we have careers that are particularly like volatile.
Yeah.
But we've talked about this every once in a while. It's like, oh man, the idea of like having a job that you know what it is. And I guess everyone's job can go away. But the idea of like stability in that part of your life really takes a... You know, when you book a longer job, part of your brain
relaxes.
Really relaxes, yeah. In a way that it doesn't the rest of the time. Hey, listeners at home, want songs are hard. And they're hard because they are sort of they are both the crux of what the character wants, and sometimes, not always, the character is not right. Like, the thing that they think they're going after, the thing that they think they want, is not always the thing that they actually want. Little Mermaid is a somewhat good example of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have to be driving, and it does have to be something that you can actively pursue.
I mean, it's pretty funny for her to have a want song that's just like, I just want to live in a boring every day. I feel like if every single day was the same, I'd say, ah. And then
I sort of love that portal because that opens. In conjunction with her getting a magic would be like, fuck, this is the like of all of the things that could get in my, I'm just trying to be like, I was a ghost on day one at school and that's not great. I do want to like blend in. I'm not trying to rock the boat, but I want to have 3 to 4 close friends. I want to get A minuses. I would like to be accepted to half of the schools I apply to. I would like my life to not be like this fucking volcano earthquake confluence. And if that happens, that would be good. I don't want to be the hero of the story. I want to be the person in the side who has to, doesn't fight the dragons. Who has like the fun stuff. Also, this portal showing up is not sort of in line with that.
Yeah.
Like, that is not what I want. And I think that's an interesting sort of journey, because like that is both a thing that it's like a 100% understandable thing to want. But just knowing that, like, sorry, girl, you are the main character of your story. Everyone is.
Yeah. You can't avoid change. Things will happen.
Can't avoid change. And even if it's not a portal, we only go up to 10 and down to 1 on our own personal scales, right? So like everyone has their 10, and it's the most grief you've ever experienced in your life.
Yeah. And
for different people, that can be different things, but like,
there's no avoiding it.
There's no avoiding it. And also like, there's no, this is not entirely the same point, but like what's traumatic to you is traumatic to you. I think we spend a lot of time being like, feeling guilt about like, well, this isn't that bad. It's like, okay, but have you experienced worse? Is it the worst thing that you've experienced?
Right.
So like, to you, it is that bad. And like, that's all that there really is.
I wonder if we make her backstory even then a little bit more tumultuous. Like if when the mom died, the dad like took a certain type of job where they had to move like every 2 or 3 years, but to make it better, he like always had this, everything was an adventure. Oh, now we get to live here, and like now we get to do this, and we're gonna fight the dragon that is 2 years in Sweden, and like you know, yeah. And like something a little, so that she's like, good golly,
they've been moving. It's been a roller coaster. When can I get off?
Yes, yeah. This is enough change for a whole lifetime. I've had enough.
I'd like to get off the ride now, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Man, I relate to that just because I'm tired.
Like, yeah.
I like that. It's certainly fine as a starting point.
Okay, cool. Well, it's
the only thing to remember in these creative discussions, y'all. You don't actually have to solve it in one. You just have to start.
And this will be like, if it's anything like our last one, this will be the song written the most. There are
we're going to write this song a fucking million times.
There's like 6 or 7 versions of the Want song in our feature.
And they're all fun, but only one of them is still in there.
Yeah, the movie doesn't stop for an hour just to hear the different versions of one. Although we did sort of use some of that. Anyway. Okay.
I'll recycle stuff all day long. I'm not precious about that. I'm Oscar the Grouch. I live in this trash can.
I know. I was thinking more we use the concept of versions in the ultimate version.
We sure did.
Yeah, it's almost like the
process became the result.
Yeah. Sweet. Okay. I think let's leave it there just because, I don't know. That's a long enough time to listen to us brainstorm.
It sure is. And we'll go off now and crack some more of the opening and maybe some of this Want song.
Yeah. Kind of working
a little
on
of
like
this Want song.
This bit, this like front bit that we've discussed. Maybe make some more decisions and lay some more things down.
So, yeah, keep your eyes out for those international tickets. We'd love to see you in Dublin and or Vienna and or London.
Did
I say London twice?
Nope, you did it.
Dublin and London sound the same. That's all I got, Jess. How about you?
That's all I got. Thanks so much. It was really so fun to see everybody come out for the last run of live shows. And, yeah, that's what we got for now.
Okay, so I believe DC show is already out, which means the next show to be released is the New York show, which means when that releases, hopefully simultaneously on Clubhouse, the video will be up with our slightly remastered audio. That's the plan. That'll be in either a week or 2 weeks, depending on what we do, where we slot this little friend in.
Yeah.
But that's it. As we say at the end of every On Book, just have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, man. You too. Goodbye. Bye.